Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mathis Media Hub Radio. Well, you know what? I've been smiling all day because my good friend and one of my favorite people to talk to is here, Catherine Natale. She's an actress, writer, producer. Catherine Natale has been an actress for many years in films, TV, and stage. She has worked with Betty Garnett, to Rob Morrow from Numbers, and continues to grow as an actress and writer. And I'm not going to go too much into her bio because we're going to talk about that today. Catherine will talk about her journey and the business of acting. Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great since I'm talking to you. So, you know, which is fantastic. So let's talk about, you know, your journey as an actress, because I'm sure people are interested in knowing about that, especially people in the who want to be an actor or an actress or in the entertainment business.
Well, I think you have to really know who you are, especially if you're an older actress. It helps to have a little bit of guts, and you have to make you know, some choices. It's a life calling, I think, to be able to stay with it. There's a lot of rejection, a lot of people saying what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you are, what you don't feel like that you do lend to itself, whatever your strengths are. So you really have to know who you are. And also for the process and the actual art of acting, it really, if you have a sense of who you are and your identity and what you have to bring, you can bring that to any character that you end up portraying or end up working on or whatever project it may be. So it pays to really know who you are. And I always tell young people, you know, go out in the world, experience, travel, you know, make the right decisions, go to college, get that degree, find out who you are. And if this is something that you really want to do, because it's not a profession where you can just stop and then go back and then stop and then go back, because it's really a profession of network. When you think of it, you're really selling yourself.
And it's
more,
so competitive.
Yeah. It is. And what happens is people start and then they give up because they feel rejected or they feel like they can't make it. And, you know, some young people like to make it like in 6 months or a year. They watch Entourage and they think, oh, well, you know, I'll go to L.A. and everyone will discover me and I'll just hang out on the beach or, you know, do my thing and I'll get discovered, you know, and it doesn't work that way.
I like how you said, and get discovered.
So what I always tell people is to really have a good education, really expand your mind and your life experience, and take it one step at a time and really discover what your market is, because everyone has a market. Everyone has, it's not just like, oh, I'm an actress. You know, like with me, I'm a character actress. You know, I play insane people. I'll play a lot of mothers.
Yeah.
Even though I've never been a mom. I don't know. I have that mother look. I don't know.
But you must put out that sort of, you know, vibe also, because playing a mother and you've never been a mother, you really have to go there, don't you? Knowing what it is to be a mom.
I'm kind of nurturing. I do like to nurture people. You know, like if I see someone, I like to give them a helping hand or something. So I guess I have that in me. I think also, too, I have a lot of energy as far as, like, you know, I try to be as positive as possible. And I also play insane people. And I play... Yeah, I do. I play a lot of insane people. I play a lot. Once in a while, I get a good angry part, and I do slap really well. So it's one of those things. I did a short film one time. I played a nun, and it was a I guess it was a lesbian scene, somewhat of a lesbian scene. I was having I was having an affair with another nun, and there was we were in Colombia, in South America, and the rebels were next door, and they're going to blow our brains out, and we had these guns, and you know.
You were wicked nun.
I had to whip the other nun in shape, so I smacked her, you know. And so the director was like, I don't know, do you want to really slap her? I mean, we could do it in post. And I was like, I don't know, what do you want to do? You know, I asked the other. She says, oh, you could slap me, it's okay.
Oh,
well, after like the eighth slap, her jaw was like aching. Just Catherine, my God, you got some hands, you know. It's like.
She should have looked at him before she said, go ahead and slap me.
That's funny. You know, and I didn't even know her very well. You know, we just met. Maybe we had a couple of rehearsals prior. It was like, it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. So
that sounds like she was going for, you know, she's doing it. I'm doing it for my art. So go ahead and, you know, slap me or whatever.
For the reaction, for the honesty of the reaction, you know.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
I guess that's, you know, if you do like a zillion takes, it's kind of hard to keep doing the same reaction over and over again.
That is.
So I guess as she was in pain with her jaw.
Oh, my Lord.
I said, I'm so sorry. She's just, okay.
Oh, you must have felt a little guilty about that. No?
Yeah. I wasn't Catholic for nothing, so.
That's funny. But do you think that actors come with, what is it called when you study with a certain person and it's called the so-and-so theory of acting? I can't even remember some of the names of these famous teachers. Yeah.
Like Strasberg, Method.
Exactly.
Uta Hagen.
Right.
I had studied with Uta. And I had studied with Uta's husband, Herbert.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I have some funny stories about Herbert because he's now passed. And so it has Herbert.
Oh.
So it's Uta.
Yeah.
And Uta Hagen, there's one really funny theater story about Uta Hagen. Everyone who's ever an actress knows who Uta Hagen is. She was a legend in her time. And she had a little studio down in the Village in New York where, you know, you could go. It was called HB Studios. And you had to audition for her class, and you had to audition for Herbert's class, too, Berghoff. And they were from the actors group back in the 1930s. They did the theater in New York on Broadway. They were, like, complete theater couple legends, whatever. You know, and... So a funny story, Uta is on stage, and she's up in years now, and she's doing an off-Broadway show, a small theater, and the stage manager is in the back, and she can't remember her lines, and she's pacing back and forth, and she's saying the same line over and over again, and she's trying to emote, like, her emotion, trying to figure out how she's going to get to the next line, because she cannot remember it.
Right.
And she's pacing back and forth. And finally, she goes right to the wing of the theater. And I won't say it. I won't curse. But in so many words, she said, "Where is my line, stage manager?"
He should have gotten the clue by now anyway.
I know.
Don't blame
he never
her.
Got the clue that she needed help. You know, he just
exactly.
was like, Uta is like, you know, totally lost. And so... She composed herself, and she continued as the queen that she was.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And
wow. That's really something.
And
Herbert
Berghoff, her husband, I went to class with him. I studied with him too, and he would have he was Austrian, and he would have his beer. And I remember that if he didn't like the scene you were doing, he would pour his beer in class with this tall beer glass. And you would hear this drink almost like it was like a cane that was coming out to take you away from the stage.
Oh, my Lord.
And you sort of knew that you were boring him.
Oh, my goodness. That must have scared the life out of some people. Like, what do I do now?
That was Herbert.
Funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. Many other stories for off, you know, when I worked with a lot of different people. And you never know what's going to happen on stage. That's why I love to do stage, because you just don't know what's going to happen. One time I was, I'll never wear a pearl necklace and again on stage, and it broke. For whatever reason,
beep.
It got loose. And all the pearls kept dropping onto the stage during the scene. And,
wait,
of course,
one
you have
by
to
one
acknowledge that, because it's coming off one by one by one.
Wow.
And you have to just, you have to acknowledge it.
Oh, my
It's
goodness.
Life.
Yes.
Acting
but
is life.
But I guess you have to be prepared for any and everything.
Oh,
know?
I've been hurt on stage.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, you're human. But you also, I was told that you also have to be in the moment. What do you think about that, being in the moment? Is that difficult to do? Yeah.
Oh, well, it's the greatest thing when you're in the moment and you know the audience is it with you. It's almost like going to church. It's your spiritual church type of feeling where you're one with the audience. And I've had that where I actually could sense someone breathing, and they're just waiting to see what I'm going to do next.
Wow.
And there is no other high in the world to be able to affect people and to be able to express and to know what the playwright was trying to express through his words.
That's right.
Because you are the instrument.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it, whether you do film, TV, stage, you are the instrument to that writer. And you just respect the writer and his words.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that you are one with the audience, it's the greatest high in the world.
It sounds like it. It really does sound like. You know, I've gone to see plays that just mesmerized me. You know, I sit there and it's like I'm in a trance because it's so realistic to the emotions, you know, and I sit there and go, okay, I've felt that before. I've been in that situation before. I think that's a great feeling for the audience also.
Well, I've had people in the past have come up to me and said, oh, I know that character you did on stage. I can relate to it.
That's right.
My sister was like that, or my mother was like that, or I understood when you went to, you know, when you told that person that you shouldn't do what they were doing, you know, things like that. It makes them feel like they're not alone and that it's, you know, so it's a good thing.
Sure, it's a good thing. And it also makes them feel like they're not crazy.
Right, they're justified. They feel as if that they have a voice of some kind, you know. And it goes all back to the play, the words, the script, whatever that may be.
So the writer comes first, and then the actors, because without the writers, there wouldn't be anything to say.
That's true. The writer who works all by himself.
Exactly.
With a piece of paper or a computer screen in front of him trying to figure out what to say.
It's a lonely life.
Yeah,
but,
it's a
lonely life.
Right, being a writer,
it
is.
But
it's a process, too.
Right, and it's also a passion. They've got to have a passion for it, let me tell you. Which is pretty good. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to commercial, and when we come back from commercial, we will talk about what's going on with you now, your film festivals, et cetera, et cetera. So,
okay.
All right, and we'll talk about redneck weddings, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. All right, hold on. We'll be back with Catherine Nadali.
Here is a well-documented fact. Humans spend approximately 33% of life in bed. That's a good reason to consider bringing your bed into the 21st century with Function All Linens. They'll change your bedtime forever. Designed for every kind of bedtime you can imagine, these fun and functional bed sheets have his and her side pockets that hold pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The pockets allow you to have your cell phone, iPad, remotes, and anything else you need within your fingertips' reach at all times. No more cluttered nightstands. No more fumbling around in the dark. Simply reach for your pocket. Experience the affordable comfort and pure luxury that only Function All Linens can offer. For more information or to order, visit functionall-linens.com or beddazzle.com.
Welcome back to Mathis Media Hub Radio. Today I'm talking to actress, producer, writer, Catherine Natale, and she's got a lot to say about acting and a lot to say about the journey and the business of acting. Know Who You Are was one of the things that Catherine had to say, that if you're in this business, you really have to know who you are, and that that resonates. And actually, Catherine, that sort of resonates in any profession
yes.
that you take on. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that could be in any field.
Mm-hmm.
You also, you know, because the field of the entertainment business is so competitive, you have to know what your market is. You have to know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And I always say go to school, train,
right.
because you're going to be in front of certain situations where directors work totally different. You can be working with a director on film that doesn't say a word to you, doesn't speak about anything. He just lets you do. Woody
yeah.
Allen was like that. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
really.
He just never knew what he wanted, but he knew what he didn't want. And when he did, when he saw what he didn't want, he would go and talk to you. But if
right.
he would just let you go, he would just let mm-hmm. you go with the material. And then there are some directors who, you know, are just control freaks. And I say that in a positive way.
Yeah.
And they'll just micromanage, almost like a boss micromanages.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll
right.
tell you, well, you know, you should do this, you should do that. You know. And there are some writers like that, too. So, so you just don't know. You just don't know what you're going to end up. And you learn. You always have to learn. Constantly learning. And that goes for any field, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be entertainment.
That's right. So let's get on to Redneck Weddings, which I love. And by the way, if you want to take a look at what we're talking about, go to redneckweddingstv.com. And it's a hoot and a howl. I mean, even this snippet that is shown, I found
myself.
Well,
you know, you talk about determination. I shot that with very little money. I had a bunch of people want to work for nothing. I had never written anything before.
Uh-huh.
It was like my first project that I've written, first TV show, first project that I wrote. I'd like to tell your listeners how it all came about. Basically, I used to work in a wedding chapel. And I had quit the business for a short period of time. I was going through a lot of different things. And I decided to be normal and get a regular job. But I couldn't find a regular job, so I decided to become a wedding consultant. And I worked at this really wacky wedding chapel. And I said, my God, these characters are rich in a lot of different things. And I just would be, like, totally, like, blindsided as to, like, what they would say and what they would do. And I started writing these, like, little stories and because I didn't know what else to do. And then I would put it away, and I thought, I can't write. Who am I kidding? There's no way I can do this.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, I get back in the business, and I end up putting it as a play because it was the only thing I knew of at the time.
Yeah.
And I started to workshop it in Los Angeles, and they said, Catherine, this is not a play. This is a film. I mean, it was just so many different characters. And so I had to read. Pare it down, rewrite. About 2 or 3 years later, I'm now shooting this sizzle reel that's on the redneckweddingstv.com. And it was like a really good journey. I learned a lot. And I worked with a really good cast and crew. They were terrific. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, it's grown since I've done that sizzle reel.
Right.
And I actually got on the Hoboken International Film Festival last year.
Right.
It was one of the 14 pilots that were picked out of 2,000 submissions.
Wow.
And then now we did it as a music video. It's country music with comedy. Mm-hmm. It's about a girl who's a kiss of death. Every single man that ever proposes to her actually drops dead. And so there's a chapel. She gets kicked out of Texas, and they reform her to go to this chapel where it promises everlasting love, but the chapel is in Arkansas. So she's rejected in her town. She walks to Arkansas. It's a make-believe town called Cutler, and she works as a wedding consultant at this wacky chapel. And everybody's all searching for their own selves along herself, searching for herself and also her future prince or shiny knight in shiny armor, whatever we want to call it. And it's her journey. And so that's what happened. It was in the Hoboken Film Festival, and now it's going, the music video, we turned into also a music video, which is on the website, it's actually on the YouTube channel. It's Redneck Weddings, the music video, and we got accepted in today in a festival called the Art All Night Trenton 4th Annual Film Festival. And it's on June 20th through the 21st in New Jersey, my hometown. And it's a 24-hour film festival. And so I was I was really like, wow, I got, you know, so that was a plus.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I got some interest by someone, a literary agent, who said, you know, Catherine, I need you to do a package, executive summary. I want you to write 3 episodes, and I have never done that before. And I did not know. I didn't want to say to her, I'm sorry, I can't do this. So I said, okay, no problem. And I'm like, okay. And then everybody's, like, telling me, well, you know, Catherine, I think you should make it edgy. You should make it da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hmm.
And I said, you know what? You have a point. So I was open-minded to change it. And so I retooled it. And so with the sizzle reel is more Mad TV, more slapstick. But the actual script now has a lot more drama, a lot more comedy, a lot more, the characters are more flawed. The show combines country music with the comedy, and you really want to root for Breezy Carson, who is like the Rocky of the show, the underdog. And it all came together. So about 6 months later, I say, okay, here's everything.
6 months,
I had no idea what to do. I was like, okay, what do I do? And
learning, isn't it? Like you've learned so much. You've learned what people probably takes them 5-6 years to realize or to learn, because you've been thrown in it. Like you're thrown in to swim and you can't swim.
Well, yeah, you know, you. 'Cause actually, I've been working on this. Well, from the start of it, the very start of the idea of it was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I had put it in the drawer, and for a year and a half, the characters kept coming in my head. You know, you got to understand, I never wrote before, so all this experience of being a writer, I was like, this is totally crazy and strange feeling that these characters would come into my head and start talking to me, and I would have to write it all down. And then I would take the rewrites and I say, where do I begin? What do I do? You know, I was like almost like I was haunted. I had to get it out. I had to flush it out. And so this is the process, is what I'm saying. I mean, I know it as an actress, but as a writer, I had no idea. It was like I was like didn't know what to do.
But I've heard many writers saying exactly what you're saying, that, you know, it's like in their head and they have to get it out and they have to have it on paper. They dream about it. They know these characters, et cetera, et cetera. It's all an interesting cycle or format or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating.
And when I was retooling the show recently, I was living through each moment in the script as I was typing it. I was reliving, like, I was almost, like, visually trying to figure out, like, what they would, how they would feel and what they would do and how they would react and what, what could, you know, and it takes time. I mean, that's why I say, you know, I always feel that if you're going to do something, do it right. And do it as the best of possible. And
that's right.
I mean, I had two choices. Either I could have said, forget it, I'm not going to do this, I can't do this, and put it in the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say, you know what, I invested so much time and energy, and I love the script, and I know that there's an audience out there for it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the character, Breezy Carson, is really my aunt, who was very unlucky in love. So I'm pretty much mirroring her life. And she wasn't from the South, but I'm mirroring her life. And what she would, I think, would wanted to have is to have a husband and kids. And she never could have that. Every single guy that she ever was engaged to dropped dead. It was like a running joke in my family. And
that,
so,
really happened. That really happened.
It really,
Kevin,
really,
right?
happened. So I kind of knew. I kind of knew growing up. Her struggle of trying to fit in, because we're talking 60s, where every woman got married.
Right.
And so I kind of knew, as I grew up with her, what her struggles were. And every time we would go to a funeral, every time this guy, you know, as a kid, I would see, oh, she would say, oh, this is my boyfriend. And then, you know, 2 years later, he would drop dead. I would go to the funeral.
You're kidding.
You know. You know, like,
wow.
Things like that, or they would have massive heart attacks. And, you know, I knew the last guy she was involved with way when she was in, like, in her late 70s. Nice guy. And my father would say, oh, okay. And sure enough, like, 8 months later, he dies of stomach cancer. And we got a call, like, he's dying, and we were like, well, we just saw him last week. He seemed to be okay.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
So it was one of those things. So I had just, like, as a kid, I had this experience about lost love and lost, you know. And so I put it into the script. So they always say, write what you know.
Nice. That's right. That's the best kind of writing, isn't it? What you know. Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. Really interesting story. And guess what? Our time is just about up.
Oh no!
Yeah, time flies. I tell
it
you,
does
we
fly. We could vetch so often, you know.
So we're out of time. Catherine's, you can look at Redneck Weddings website at redneckweddingstv.com. And any of the links that they should be going to, Catherine?
They could just go to my IMDb page. And they could see Killers at Play. It won Best Thriller for Amsterdam Film Festival recently, the Van Gogh Award.
Nice.
And then Wheels has been getting a lot of awards that I worked on. It's a film, an independent film, at the Huntington Beach Film Festival. It won, and also it won the Spirit of Freedom Award at the Bahamas International Film Festival recently.
Wow.
So, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to my crazy, wacky stories, and you being the wonderful host that you are.
Oh, thank you. But thank you for sharing that information. I'm sure that people got a lot of stuff out of it, and I love your statement. Know who you are, and which I felt hit home, and
empowerment,
very, very important.
Is so key. Empowerment.
That
is so
key. Right. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, Catherine. Well, all the best to you. I know we'll be hearing back from you again, because you have so much to talk about. So
I know.
Yeah, so the next great thing that you do, we will hear from Catherine Natale. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your day. Say hello to your hubby for me, who's another fantastic person. I have to get him back on the show as well.
I know.
And I do.
Back.
Yeah. So anyway, take care. And
thank you so much.
Sure, we'll talk next time.
Thank you, Joanne.
Bye
Catherine.
Everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Mathis Media Hub production.